morning. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12:12. 12-26. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But if in fact God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Let us have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, we are so blessed, Lord, to be gathered here once again, to be reading such incredible words, Lord, that come from you. Words that really guide us through our lives every single day, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, may you forgive us, as sometimes our eyes just gets off of yours. And we're so busy with our daily lives, Lord, and we sometimes forget about you. May you forgive us, Lord. You're so loving, so compassionate. You're always, always there for us, Lord. Whenever we need you, you're there. And Lord, may you give us the strength that we need, Lord, to get even closer to you, to have that closer relationship with you, Lord. And we thank you to be able to talk to you so freely anytime that we want to. May you be with the pastor today, Lord, as he presents this incredible message, Lord. And may we be attentive to it, Lord. And may we apply it into our daily lives. In your wonderful and blessed name, I pray. Amen.
All you have to do is watch television these days, or turn on your computer, or turn on your radio, or pick up the paper, and you'll see how unity or disunity is being practiced. Countries are falling apart. Nations are falling apart. Families are falling apart. Many, not all, and yet many. Churches are falling apart, or they're changing to become something different than planned by God. So, to make his point, the writer of this letter uses the body, the human body, to make his point. And his point is that we are interdependent, not independent, as members of the body of Christ. The human body is a good illustration of many, or I should say, of unity and diversity. The body is one and yet has many members. I may wake up in the morning and I say, oh my goodness, my finger is hurting me so much. I say, oh, and my head says, forget it. And my foot says, oh, forget it. It's only the one finger. No, the whole body starts suffering. I can't think well. Why? It's just a thumb. Why am I so now so in such a pain? Because as my thumb is a member of my body. Apostle Paul uses the image of a body to explain Christ's relationship with the believers. In the spiritual body, the church is one unit. No matter what our race is, or our nationality, or social status is, we are all one in the body of Christ. And again, I when I look around me, when I listen to people talk about churches that are divided, there is a church for blacks right here and across the street, and another church for whites. There is one church for Russians, and there is one church for Armenians. And I could understand that, the language problem. And yet, sometimes it's not the language, but it's the culture. It's because we don't like that culture or nationality, so we start our own little group. And at one time on Park Avenue, I remember from Van Horn to maybe San Viator, there were about four or five Latin-speaking or Spanish-speaking little congregations. And once I asked a pastor, why is it that so many little groups, 10, 20? Oh, he said, it's not about the spirituality. It's about where we come from. We feel so comfortable with each other. Well, that if that's how it was, then my five fingers would say, I'm very comfortable here, I don't want to do anything else. No, we can't. The head controls every member. Although all believers are different and perform different functions, yet they all work together to make one functioning unit, the body of Christ. For the human body to function well, there must be many members, each one different from the other, working in obedience to the head and in cooperation with the others. There is no such a thing as only cooperating with the head. And I've heard many Christians say, well, I don't go to church anymore. I don't need the fellowship of other believers. I have my Lord and Savior, and I communicate daily with Him. I read my Bible. I pray my little prayer, and I don't need anyone else. No, well, it does not work that way, the Bible says. We really need each other. We really need each other as every member in my body. A little... Well, let me put it this way. It's so small. And Margaret was going through a difficult situation with the parathyroid thing, and she was describing to me how small it is. And then I was talking to the doctor here, and he said, Joseph, it's so small, sometimes I can't see it. And yet, that little parathyroid can ruin your body. And so you have to deal with that. A little microbe comes into your body, and every member is now alert. The army is alert to fight that little microbe, so the entire body won't be affected. This morning I shared with in our Bible study, adult Bible study, what happened to my mother when she was 7 years old. Well, she hurt her little toe and she didn't know what to do. She was a little child, and that developed. There were not any CLSCs there or any doctors available, and it developed to a gangrene. So the doctor said they will have to cut her leg below the knee. So finally they did cut her leg below the knee. Now, she didn't have a choice. Well, she had a choice, either to let gangrene ruin the entire body and the body would then die, or just deal with that infection. Well, sometimes it does happen the same thing in the church too, and that I can understand, because people may say, well, you're talking about unity, 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 but how can you have unity with a person, or how can you agree with a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a Christian that brings in sin or talks about sin or ignores sin, or there are things that are happening, and I say, well, I believe the Holy Spirit should direct us. First of all, not our own judgment or our own intelligence. And if the Holy Spirit is at work in the church and is at work in the family of believers, then everything will be so clear. And the church has been instructed to deal with those things. But for this morning, we'll talk about the unity of the body of believers by seeing how important diversity is to a normal, healthy body. We will understand the importance of the diversity of the members in the body of Christ. The body of believers is called the church, the bride of Christ. And in Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of His body, the temple of God. We are His temple." In Ephesians 2, it says, "In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." The body of Christ is also called in Ephesians 5:30. So if our body is the temple of Christ and He lives there, then this body, this one little member, is a member of the bigger, the invisible body of Christ, the church. The church is not made up with only Baptists or Protestants or Catholics or Pentecostals or any kind of denominations. No, there are many who are Baptists. There are many who are from other denominations. Only the true born-again believers washed in His blood are members of the body of Christ. And this is in the invisible church. No church can claim to be the true church unless Christ is the center of that church and is the head of that church. A pastor, a deacon, the hierarchy of the denominations are not the head of the church, should not be the head of the church, but only Christ should be the head of the church. The spiritual gifts and functions given to the members are for the benefit of the whole body. The church, and not for private, these gifts are not for private enjoyment of the individual Christian. And this happens very often. Someone has the gift of singing, let's say. And this person is so busy now singing everywhere else except no time to sing in the church. Someone has the gift to build things, and he or she is so busy doing that somewhere else, and yet the body of believers need his services, or his gifts should be used there. And I believe that our gifts are not only for our own enjoyment, but it's for everyone to see and everyone to enjoy. Or we join the whole body of believers to make the body function well. When the members of the body of Christ function well and have right attitude, God is pleased. The problem also today is the attitudes of believers. The attitude of someone who says, "Oh, I'm educated." The other day, I used this example once again. I met someone, and he said to me, "You know, I've studied theology for 3 years, and I really understand everything about God." I said, "Really? And what is your personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Oh, which God you mean?" I said, "Well, how many gods are?" He says, "There are three gods." And he was telling me there is God, the Father is one God. And then there is God, the Son, another God. And then there is another God, the Holy Spirit. And then while he was saying this, I remember Yaroslav, who he says, the problem with the Jews, our Jewish people, is the misunderstanding of many Christians that there are three gods. We only believe in one God, I said to this gentleman. And he says, no, that's why you are a Protestant. I said, fine. So you see, when there is misinformation, when the church is not governed by the head, when the church's head is not Christ, who is teaching directly, and you may say now, okay, are you Christ? No, I'm not Christ. I'm a little instrument broken, and I always think of myself as a pair of pliers I have in my shop, who are really worn out and almost broken. And I say, this is what I am, Lord, that pair of pliers. But by itself, this pair of pliers, this instrument cannot do anything at all. Just sits there, ugly looking little pair of pliers. But when I pick it up as a technician, I can manipulate that and I can do a lot of stuff with it. That's how it is with God. I, the broken pair of pliers, can be picked up by God if I allow him to, and he can use me. He can use you, every one of you, for his glory. It's not because we are worthy, it's because he makes us worthy. There is individuality in the body of Christ, for sure. There is individuality. First, what we have in common. And that is very important, because some will say that there is no individuality. Everyone is molded to become one. No, that's not true. There is individuality. And yet, we must understand what the Bible says. First, what we have in common. All are baptized by one Spirit, regenerated by the Holy Spirit at the time of our conversion. That's what we have in common. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink from. Second, all are baptized into one body. When one turns to Christ and believes in him, he or she is born again and is made a part of the body of Christ. Third, all are given the one Spirit to drink. All believers receive the Holy Spirit as an indwelling person and the benefits of his ministry in their lives. Let me explain this. There are those who will tell you, ask you, are you a born-again believer? And you say, yes, I am born-again believer. Well, let me just put it another way. A young lady came once and into our church, and at the end of the service, she came to me and says, sir, are you a born-again believer? I said, yes, praise the Lord. I was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a born-again believer. She said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I said, of course, when I accepted the Lord and in my life, he came in my life and he is in me. Yes, I do have the Holy Spirit. Oh, she says, do you speak in tongues? I said, yeah, actually, I just wanted to put some humor there. And I said, yeah, I speak actually five languages. She was very upset. She says, no, I mean like this. And she started going. And she says, this is the Spirit. I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt anyone's feeling, but my question was, which Spirit is that? Because when you receive Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart, God comes into your life. God is only one. We don't believe in three gods. That first the God, the Father, comes, and then a little later on, if you invite, Jesus comes in. And then when you are you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit comes. It's not possible. You either are a born-again believer, a member of the body of Christ, or you're not. Some disagree, but the Bible makes it very clear that there is only one living God. and you cannot have him in installments. So, these things we all have in common. That is, we are baptized by one Spirit into one body and one Spirit to drink from. The second thing is, first was what we have in common. Second is what we have as individuals. We still have our nature and temperaments, believe it or not. When you become a born-again believer, you don't become like me, and you don't become like Stella, you don't become like Vahe. You still are yourself. Only now you have God in you, and the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. We are still what we were when it comes to our temperament. Now, God can change those. Someone was telling me yesterday, he came to our shop and he was describing a believer. He said, this brother that I know, he was really a nice gentleman. But he was so quick to be angry, and if you disagreed with him, he would start shouting at you and all that. And he said, the bottom line is that I couldn't figure him out. Well, the Bible says that we do have our own personality. Second, we still have our temperaments, or at least personality. Third, we do not become building blocks, but rather living stones. We're not building blocks. We are living stones. And 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. My wife has her own gifts. I cannot be like her. Elise has her own gifts. The doctor here has his own gifts. Every one of us are individuals with our own special gifts and weaknesses, but God is able to help us, and He will channel those gifts if we allow Him for His glory, and will become living stones. Don't be eager to desire to be someone else. Many of us hear a prayer, and very often in the past, and even now, I would listen to a prayer and say, boy, he prays so nice. She prays so nice. I wish I could pray like her, and I know it is weird for me to even think that, because praying is talking to God. Praying is opening up your heart. You don't need very beautiful words or verses. And, you know, when I'm not saying it's wrong, and yet I've heard prayers that half of the prayer is quoting verses from the Bible. God knows those verses. Just tell Him what it's in your heart. You must accept yourself as God has made you. First was, there is individuality in the body. Second, there is no inferiority in the body of Christ. Verse 18 says, it's a very nice verse actually to remember, and we must be comforted by that verse. It says, but in fact, God has arranged that parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. No matter what we were like before we accepted Christ, we become part of one body in Christ. No matter where you came from, no matter whether you are a liar or a cheater, adulterer, or whatever, when you became a member, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you became a saved person, a changed person, a person who has been metamorphosized, that is, metamorphosis means changed completely, you become a functioning member of the body of Christ. We are members of the body. We are gifted as it pleases Him. We must accept ourselves and others in the body of Christ. Now, that is a little difficult. We say, well, how can I accept this person? All he or she does, talk, and when I see that person, I just want to avoid that person. The other, and then we have someone else that all he or she does, and we have really difficulties. Well, obviously, we do have our preferences in life. Well, obviously, we cannot be very close with everyone we meet and make that person to be part of the inner circle. Even Jesus, actually, had many who followed him. He had those who really followed him. And then he had 12 that were with him for 3 years at least. And then he had 3 that were close. And then there was one that was his... he really loved him. He was his little boy. That's something, but Jesus respected everyone and loved everyone equally. And everyone was given the same chance or chances to follow him. We must accept ourselves and others in the body of Christ. We need each other. The problem is that I've heard many Christians say, well, I don't need that. Well, we do need each other in the body of Christ. And that is like my mouth saying I don't need the eyes, or the eyes saying I don't need the mouth, or my blood, whatever, the red cells saying I don't need the white cells, or whatever, I'm not the doctor. And you know, we just can't do it. The body will collapse. We are not all the same, for sure. We complement each other. By serving together, we please our Lord. The weak members are needed too. All members must be honored and respected. Third, first I said, there is individuality in the body. Second, there is no inferiority in the body. Third, there is to be intimate fellowship in the body. There should be no division in the body of Christ. Yeah, we divided. There are more Baptist groups than you think. There are more Protestant groups than you think. There are more little cell groups than you think. And that weakens the body rather than strengthens the body. What we need is people filled with the Holy Spirit and the desire to follow Christ. Can you imagine? Christ is walking, let's suppose, for a moment, and we're following him. There would be millions or billions of people just following Christ. But right now what we have is Christ is following and someone is going that way, that way, that way. There is preacher A, there is preacher B, and then there is evangelist this and that, and most of the time we talk about these people rather than follow Christ. And Jesus said to Peter, I know you said you love me. You actually said 3 times you love me. But you know what? To show your love for me, follow me. There should be no division in the body. We are to care for one another. We are to love one another. Oof, these things are difficult. Huh? I love my brethren. I pray for them. And the prayer is like this. God, please bless all those who come to church. Yeah, how many? I don't know really, Lord. What's their name? I don't. I have difficulties with their names. Well, can you give me 3 names of the congregation? Well, my mother. No. What God wants is for us to be interested enough to get to know the other members of the body of Christ. And we should really care for each other. We are to love one another. We suffer when another member suffers. Do you? We rejoice when another member is honored. As a matter of fact, we see the opposite. When a poor member comes here and does something, and the other person who is more gifted looks down at that person singing. She should not sing anymore. Or you think you can build that or not. We instead of honoring each other and helping each other, we really criticize each other, and the body cannot function well. Let's not forget that what affects one member affects all. This is a well-known fact in the human body. When one part of the body is sick, the whole body is affected. Yeah, well, that is why we have many churches. That is why when we don't like few people, we still go and start another little group. And I'm not saying that every group is healthy group. As a matter of fact, I believe many, I'm not being judgmental, many so-called churches should close their doors. So people can go and find groups where the truth is being preached. There are so many churches that don't even mention the name of Jesus Christ. They're not members of the body of Christ. They are members of a religious force, activity, and not the body of Christ. If one member grows in strength, we will all receive help. This is also true in spiritual body. One suffers, we all suffer. If one member grows in strength, we all receive help. We cannot be a Christian outside the body of Christ and yet claim that Christ is the head. We are not independent from each other. We are interdependent as members of the body of Christ. Sad to say that it is almost impossible these days to feel that you are interdependent with another group, another Christian, because there are so many doctrines. Because the doctrines have been so watered down, and the truth now has disappeared, and all you see is doctrines, doctrines, doctrines. And they will be arguing about the translation, they will be arguing about the doctrine A, the doctrine B. When I get phone calls for a church, or if someone is looking for a church, they will ask me, what kind of a church is that? And I'll tell them, well, we are believers. And they will say, is that English? I will say, yes. Well, and I've mentioned this many times because it has left an impact. The second question will be, what version of the Bible do you use? And that should be important enough, but not the most important thing. And then they will ask me whether I'm a Calvinist, an Arminian, I'm a pre-mel, post-mel, whatever. And then at the end, may occur to them to say, are you really following Christ? Well, actually, the body of Christ is made up of individuals who have looked up to the cross, accepted the free price that He paid for our salvation, and say, from now on, I'm going to follow you, Christ. Send me where you want to send me. If you want me to stay right here, but I want to go somewhere else and do big things. I want to be a great evangelist. And I believe God may say to you, well, first be a great evangelist at home. Reach your children. Reach your parents. Reach your neighbors. Be an evangelist where you are. And then when you do so well, God is going to send you wherever you can be used even better. What happens when we function as a body? We become like the first century church. Thousands were converted. Churches were established. And I'll close with a few verses. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Well, obviously, there was a number. You know, when people say, well, what's about this membership thing? Well, or else they wouldn't know how many people, members, joined the church. But there were thousands who accepted the Lord and were baptized. Acts 4, verse 4 says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Acts 9:31 says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. I think the last phrase is what we should remember. Living in the fear of the Lord. The person who does not fear is in trouble. The church that does not fear the Lord is in trouble. The nation that does not fear the Lord is in trouble. These are good examples. They happened then and there. Why not here? Why not now? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for humbling yourself, for emptying yourself from your glory and becoming one of us, so we can see you, touch you, and hear your voice. And yet, Lord, the human race was so ungrateful that you were killed. You are crucified on the cross to pay the price for our salvation. And yet, on the cross, you prayed for our salvation. Give us a love that resembles yours. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit touch each one of us this morning. Restore us, revive us, and mend us our lives. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.